Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I want us to read together. I started to do it responsively, but that might be confusing. I'd rather we just all read it. And we'll read it slowly, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verse 19 through 13, verse 9 through 13, pardon me, of Matthew chapter 6. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray like John the Baptist had taught his disciples to pray. And he responded, beginning with verse number 9, so read it with me out loud. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus said, pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Today's Father's Day. We commend all the fathers of the church, and we're glad that our country recognizes Mother's Day and Father's Day for the contributions that parents make to the family, and the families make up the nation. They also make up the church, and we're thankful for all of you. Jesus respected God the Father and came to do His will, and He never sought to do His own thing. His thinking was in perfect harmony with the Father. And our fathers have taught us and brought us up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Several verses I want to look at. I'll read them. You can turn if you like. First one's in Malachi chapter 4. That's just before Matthew, the last Old Testament prophet. Malachi, writing prophet. Chapter 4. In Hebrew, the word father is ab or ab. A-B. It is the same in Aramaic. In Greek, it is Abba, father. Refers to the biological father, but it also refers to the head of the household, the father of the family. Abraham was a father of several hundred before he and his wife were given a miraculous birth of a child in their old age. And he's also the father of the faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And so Abraham is accepted by the Jews, who he was the beginning of the Jewish nation, accepted by the Arabs, because many of his children are the heads of nations, and also by Christians because of his faith in the Lord. In Malachi 4, verse 5, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. In the end times, in the book of Revelation, during the tribulation, Elijah will return to help call the nation back to God. He says in verse 6, He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So children and their fathers are important to God. Let us give God thanks for all He has done for us. Let us be a thankful people. Gary was sitting out reading this morning in Romans chapter 1 where he said the sin of the nation was they were not thankful. They were unholy. They were unthankful. They were ungrateful for all God had done to them. God said an ox knows his master's crib, and an ass knows his master who feeds him. He said, but my nation does not show me that respect. And God is our Father, and we need to show Him that respect. We need to show Him love. We need to show Him gratitude and appreciation. And that should spill over in our attitude toward our earthly fathers as well. God has given us the grace to be a part of His family. In 1 John 3, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. If you're saved today, you're a part of God's family. Jesus is our elder brother, whom we glorify and worship and give praise for all he has done for us to save us from our sins and give us eternal life. We've been born of the Word of God, which is incorruptible seed, not corruptible seed as simply human births, but incorruptible by the Word of God that liveth forever and forever. 1 Peter 1:13 through 23. If you want to turn, look at Psalm 112 with me this morning. God created man after his own image and his own likeness. Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27 records that for us. And God created for 6 days, and he made man on the 6th day. And when God looked at his creation, by the way, we aren't told at one point exactly God created the angels. But Job said the angels gave God praise by singing when he made the worlds. So God made the angels as his servants. They are spirit beings. I hate to disappoint you, but your grandmother doesn't become an angel when she goes to heaven. She may be angelic in her character and nature, but angels are different. People are different. We must be saved by Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, and then we become servants of God somewhat like the angels. Now, God created on 6 days, and when he created everything, he said it is good. God beheld. It was very good. Everything he had created was finished on the 6th day, and God said it is very good. But then he said there's one thing that was not good. It was not good for Adam to be alone. And so God sought to make him a helpmeet. But the first job that God gave to Adam was to name all of the animals. And God brought all the beings he had created of the animals by Adam. And Adam gave every one of them names. He was a pretty smart cookie, wasn't he? Some of those names I can't even pronounce. And some of those animals, I look at them and I don't know what they are, you know. We had a young coyote in our backyard a couple of times, and his face looked like a fox, and his body had long legs, and we didn't know what it was. And my son said, "Dad, that's a coyote." I said, "We never had coyotes in our yard before. I didn't know what they looked like when they were young." I remember listening to them at the Marine base howling in the night when I was on guard duty. But God gave this job to Adam, and Adam named all the animals. And then God took a rib from Adam and made a woman, and he called her Isha, woman, for she was taken out of Ish, man. And he joined the two of them together. And there's a lot of beautiful pictures that you can mention about God took a rib from Adam. He took from his side. He didn't take for him to stand over woman. He didn't take her to think over him. He put them together, and they love one another and to have children. So all of us, male and female, have been created in the image and the likeness of God. If you're born of God, then God is your Father, and he is our Heavenly Father, and we should recognize his word is to be obeyed and to be listened to, and we should be thankful to him for all he does. We should never get so caught up in living life that we forget to give God thanks and praise for every gift. Most of us eat 3 times a day or more. Brother Jeff brought out in a sermon one time that we ought to pray for our snacks. You know, we make a lot of snacks, and I think Miss Janine asked him, "You going to pray over that, you know?" And sometimes I pray, "Oh me," when it's a candy bar or something like that. But we should pray to God and give him thanks. And we do that like Daniel of old, who prayed 3 times a day with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed and prayed for restoration of the nation and that sort of thing. And we should pray daily and give God thanks and appreciation and show him our love. He teaches us how to love. I'll get to that in a moment. First, I want to read Psalm 112. "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Now, we ought to love God and appreciate all that God has done for us. And I say all the time, everything good about me is by the grace of God. God has blessed me, and God has given me the ability to live for him and serve him. And he has even given us the ability to overcome sin if we walk with him and study his word. In 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Chapter 5 says in verse 1 and 2, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're to love our Father, and we're supposed to love each other because we are brothers and sisters because of the Lord. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 4 and 5 of chapter 5 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And then verse 5 says, "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And then if you have your Bible open, verse 18 says, "We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." The committing and practicing of sin, when we get saved, we have that desire to put sin away. We have a desire to please God. We have a desire not to sin. And God has given us that by his Spirit and by his Word, the power to overcome sin. Now, Adam was given the job of naming all of the animals. And then Adam was given the job to build a family. God gave him a wife. They were to multiply and fill the earth. Adam was to be a father, and a father teaches his children. In Proverbs, I want to read a couple of quick verses in chapter 1, verse 8. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Chapter 4, verse 1 and 5, verse 1. "Hear ye the children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Verse 5, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding." So the children have the responsibility to honor their parents and to listen to the instructions that their fathers give them. And the father will not teach you wrong things. He won't give unto you bad gifts. He will give what you need more than you realize. He won't give you everything you want, because some of the things you want will not be good for you. I wanted a gun when I was old enough to walk. I had a pair of cap guns that they couldn't even get. Now, this is me, and they couldn't get a belt that was small enough, you know, with cap guns. And so they had to put extra holes in it. And I had two cap guns, and I shot everybody that came to my house, you know. And I wanted a gun when I realized, "Daddy, I want a shotgun." "No, son, you're not old enough for a shotgun yet." And my kids wanted them when they came up because they'd seen me shoot. And I let them shoot at targets and things, and they wanted their own guns. I made them wait to get a BB gun until they could read the instruction book and understand it. and then they got a BB gun. Now, the only one that got one earlier than that was Becca. She had to be like her two brothers, her boys, she called them. And she had an old BB gun that if you turned the barrel down, the BB would roll out of it. And she put it up under her arm, and she put her hat on, and she's going outdoors. Where are you going? I'm going hunting. And she wanted to shoot a BB gun because she saw her brothers do that. She wanted to be like them. And we are influenced by our family. We're influenced by our older siblings. But we mostly should be influenced by the grace of God and by our parental influence from our parents, our mother, and our father. A father has the responsibility to teach his children the things of God, to love God with all our heart and soul and strength, to obey God's commands, and we are to beware lest we forget God. Israel was going to go into the land that God had given to Abraham, and it was already people living there that had fields planted and homes. And God was going to drive them out because of all their wickedness and their sin. You read the book of Leviticus, and you'll find that the choices of their lifestyle are a lot like all of these that are claiming pride right now on the networks, that they want to honor them. And those are the people that God drove out of the land and gave it to Israel. Now, God said when you move in and you got land and the field is already planted and your house is there for you, beware lest you forget God. We must never forget that we have something. It's by the grace of God. We give thanks for our food. We don't have to pray for our daily need to be met. Most of us have enough money in our pocket or money in the bank. We got food in the cabinet. But we better sit down and thank God that we have it and know that it's because of Him who gives us the ability to get wealth. A father is to correct his children in Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. This is again spoken of in the New Testament. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. So a parent is to correct a wayward child. And a wayward child is to show their parents respect when they are corrected. And God corrects all of us to keep us on the straight and narrow path because He loves us. The Father, like Adam, gave names to all the animals. God the Father has given us a name. Now, many of you know this. My name is James Clifford Parrish Jr. I don't tell people that. Clifford, like the big red dog. I am Junior, James Clifford Parrish Jr. You call me Junior, we're going to fight. I never liked that. My mother called me Jimmy. And so I introduced myself as an adult that my name is Jim Parrish. And I'm thankful that I do bear the name of my father. He gave me that name. He named me after him. My dad didn't always set the right examples because he didn't get saved till real late in life. But I'm thankful he did get saved and he had a testimony. But a father gives names. And God has given us a name. In Acts 11, 26, the disciples were called Christians first at the church of Antioch. After Paul and Barnabas had met with that church for a year and taught much people, it was there that people said, these are Christ-like ones, Christians. And that is a name that we probably don't deserve, but by the grace of God, we can share that we are believers in Jesus Christ, and therefore the goal of our life is to be Christian in everything that we say and everything that we do. Our Father has revealed Himself by names throughout the Old Testament. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the name God there is the Hebrew word Elohim. And God's name Elohim has meaning. God is two words put together, El meaning strength, and Allah meaning to swear faithfully. Then secondly, the second primary name God revealed Himself by to the nation of Israel was Jehovah, Yahweh. It means the self-existent one. God is eternal. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is all-present at all times. And then the third name is translated Lord. When it is spelled in all capital letters, that is for Jehovah. When it is spelled in lowercase letters, capital L and lowercase O-R-D, that is for Adonai, and that means master. And so these are the three primary names that God has revealed himself to his people. And God has named his people in the Bible. First of all, we are called believers. This is our faith, that we are convinced that what God's word says about God is truth, and therefore we are believers. Secondly, we are brethren. Because of being saved, we are in the same family. We are associated with one another. This describes the company we keep with our brothers and sisters in the church and with Christ. In our faith, it describes our conviction that the word is true. Thirdly, disciples. A follower, one who abides in another's teaching. Jesus said, "My disciples are to deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." And this describes the commitment we make to be followers of Jesus. And then Christians, which should describe our conduct, to be Christ-like ones. We are also called saints in the Bible. Due to some churches' teachings that sainthood is kind of like knighthood, only for some special person that has done miracles or something, that's not compatible with what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches everyone who is saved is a saint of the Lord. You have been made holy by God, and therefore you are a sanctified one in Jesus Christ. And that should describe our character. Now, God revealed himself in compound names in the early parts of Scripture. Jehovah Jireh is the Lord who provides. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who gives peace. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner over us. Jehovah Mkedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. All these Jehovah titles are hidden in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You read that psalm the next time and think about all those revelations of Jehovah are given there. And the question asked is, what is your name? What name do people call you by? Adam, like God, his father, was a builder. God built the creation and made everything that we see and know. He made man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him the spirit of life. He made a woman. He made man to build a home and a family and a nation. Noah came along after the world had become wicked, and God saw him and he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And God used him to build an ark. Jimmy and Cindy just visited there and saw the ark. They brought me back a bookmark, and they spent about 4 or 5 hours going through that thing, looking at everything that was revealed there. I advise you to take your family and go to that sometime. If you can afford it, to go both places, the Creation Museum and the Ark, they're a little distance apart, but you can buy one ticket to go to both, and they're well worth seeing at least one time in your life. Well, Noah built the Ark to the saving of his household. Moses built the tabernacle. David built cities and a nation, and he wanted to build a temple for God. He had been such a man of bloodshed that God would not allow him to build the temple, but chose his son Solomon to build the temple, and David got the preparations made. Zerubbabel relaid the foundation for the temple after it was destroyed, and Nehemiah built the wall, and Ezra rebuilt the priesthood and found their pedigrees. Jesus is building His church, and you and I have been chosen by God and given the opportunity that we can be co-laborers together with Him in the building of His church. We can share the gospel and get people saved, and they'll follow the Lord in believer's baptism and become a part of the church, and the church of Christ will be getting built. We need to build a good name. Proverbs says a good name is rather to be chosen than riches. We need to build a testimony as godly men with character and ethics and morals. We need to build a good home, a godly home, where our children rise up and call us blessed. We need to build a career to provide for our family. The Bible says a man who won't provide for his own is worse than an infidel. And so it's important that we see God expects us to have a job and to earn and to provide for our homes. We need to build relationships with other believers in the church and with unbelievers we know to help them see Christ in us. In Psalm, a righteous man has fear and respect. He has it for God, and his family will have it for him because he delights in the Word. He is upright and will raise his children to be blessed. Righteousness endures, and being blessed, his needs are met. A righteous man is upright and has light in darkness. That means the righteous have discernment that others don't have. Like when you got saved and then you read the Bible and all of a sudden you got understanding that you didn't have before. This world has become a dark place. And with the little bit of light that Christians are compared to the number of people who are not Christians, we need all the light that we can get to show people the way. A good man shows favor with discretion. A good man is grounded on the rock, so he has everlasting security. He is unafraid of bad news because he knows the good news that God is still on the throne, that Jesus died for our sins, that we have everlasting life, and no one can take that away from us. A good man's works are good, and he shall be rewarded. His power is seen as a horn of an animal, like a rhinoceros. I can say that word. Rhino. I remember as a boy watching Tarzan movies. And even Tarzan was scared of a rhinoceros. It'd make him climb a tree, you know. His enemies are grieved at God's protection and provision and prosperity and power that are given unto him, and his enemies will perish. But a man who is righteous in God's sight has everlasting life. May God bless this church with godly men and godly families and godly ladies as we have. And may you be blessed of God for your faithfulness. Let's develop a love for the Word and seek to live for God day in and day out. And don't forget to give thanks to your Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and mercy to us. We pray your blessings on the invitation as we think about what we've heard from your Word today. We thank you for the fathers. Thank you for all of our men, their dedication to you and service to you. Bless them and raise them up and multiply them in this church, Lord, that we might be co-laborers together with God to build His church. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jacob, allegiance.